So we are in Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews tonight, but we are in Proverbs chapter 3, and we are looking at verses 13 through 35 today. That's through the end of the chapter. So just a matter of review, we have wisdom equals the fear of God plus the knowledge that God gives to us, which is truth, and we obey. That creates us being wise. Later on in the later on in our conversation, we're going to discover that there's some substitution words that we can put up there that will blends the Old Testament into the New Testament and allows us to see a much broader picture of what this whole book of Proverbs is about. And then Pastor Nate kind of alluded to it the very first week we were here, but that helps. So the four things we're going to be talking about tonight, what is true wealth, harmony and order in the world, in nature, protection, provision, and relationships. So that's kind of what we're going to talk over throughout the evening. So with that said, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, blessed or happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. And she is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. So just by accident, does anybody know what the going rate of silver is at the moment? Awesome. Is that per ounce?
Yes.
All righty. Cool. All right. Awesome. So, I'm really glad you know that. So, there's 16 ounces in a pound. Yeah. So, 480 bucks. So, and we know that they had more than a pound of silver. So, $480 in silver, that's not bad. Anybody know the going rate of gold? It's a lot.
$1,600
to $1,800 an ounce or something. Yeah. So, I have a gold bar weighs 2.2 pounds, and that's approximately $74,000 for just a little over two pounds of gold. And then rubies, they fluctuate a lot depending on where you find your ruby. But the most expensive rubies are found in Burma, and they're called pigeon blood red. That's their color. And they're very clear, kind of almost a bright red. And they're worth $35,000 per carat. So the price of wisdom. The value of wisdom, rather. The value of wisdom compared to the things that we value here, silver, gold, and precious jewels and gems, is worth more than $35,000 a carat. That's, as I was reading through it, I did the quick math, and I thought that was very interesting to look at. What is true wealth? You know, when you look at what wisdom is. So anyway, in verse 16 it says, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who lay hold of her will be blessed, or the word happy. It's interesting that it says that the ways of wisdom are pleasant, and all her paths lead to peace. Does that mean that we'll have no trouble? What does that mean? Yeah, you'll have that peace that passes all understanding. So, before we go any further in some of this review, I would like for us to actually look at Colossians chapter 2. So in the book of Colossians, Paul is the speaker here. He is talking to the church at Colossae. He's telling them how he longs to see them, how much he wants to be around them, how much he misses them, and all of his desires. And where we're going to pick this up is chapter 2, verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 4. Actually, we're going to read down through verse 5. Anyone care to read that? And then we're going to go back and look at like verse 3 here in a minute. But anyone want to read verses 1 through 5? Okay.
For I want you to know how great the struggle I have for you and for those believers at Laodicea, and for all those, and for all who, like yourselves, have never seen me face to face. For my hope is that their hearts may be encouraged as they are knit together in unselfish love, so that they may have all the riches that come from the full assurance of understanding the joy of salvation, resulting in a true and more intimate knowledge of the mystery of God, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge regarding the word and purposes of God. I say this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive but thoroughly deceptive arguments. For even though I am absent from you in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, delighted to see your good discipline as you stand shoulder to shoulder and form a solid friend to see the stability of the faith in Christ.
That's it. Yep, verse 5. All right, thank you. So, let me ask you, as you were reading that, listening, or whatever, what is it that sticks out here to what he's saying? What is his hope and focus and goal? They would come to an understanding of salvation. Specifically, that they would come to an understanding of who Jesus is. So, verse 2, again, it says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged, meaning all these people, Laodicea, the church at Colossae, and even the people who haven't met me, I want them to be encouraged in their heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches, complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God. And what is the mystery of God, it says? It's Christ. Okay? So it goes on, it says, in Christ, whom all who are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we've been talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And in the book of Colossians, we find Paul is relating everything that we've been studying so far to Jesus being the pinnacle of wisdom and knowledge. All the things understanding come from God. All things that are true come from God. Jesus was the pinnacle of wisdom and knowledge. So in our little equation up here, I want us to write in a few words that I think are going to help us understand what we're really talking about when we're talking about wisdom. First of all, what's the substitution word that we can use here for wisdom? We just talked about it. Salvation is an idea. How about a person's name? Jesus. So wisdom, or Jesus Christ. And what did we say that the fear of God is?
Respect.
Respect. What else?
Understanding.
Acknowledgement. There we go. Acknowledgement. If I acknowledge you and you acknowledge me, what do we have? A relationship. So
Somebody's reading my mind. I always say that, right? So we have this relationship. And the fear of God is more than being afraid of God or actually approaching him as he is God and being fearful of our position before him. All of that is true. But at the same time, we have the privilege, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, to have a relationship, right? That whole fear of God comes into that, and that relationship engulfs all of that. So when we talk about knowledge, understanding, we use words in church like, through God we learn the truth. In Hebrews, we talked about through Jesus we know the truth, right? It is because of Jesus we learn the truth. So I'm going to say this, truth and obedience really doesn't change because obedience is obedience. So in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon, did he have an opportunity to know Jesus? No. Who did he get to talk to? God. And so he was relating wisdom to these things that he was learning about, right? This relationship and knowledge and obedience, that's wisdom. And he always personifies wisdom as a person, right? When he's comparing it to the adulterous woman or the evil man or whatever, right? The same thing can be said. Jesus Christ is wisdom. Jesus Christ, to know Jesus Christ is to have a relationship with him. It's to know truth. And when we obey that truth and follow Jesus, what are we? Wise. So as we go through this book, we want to remember that we can substitute the word wisdom for the words Jesus Christ. And as we look at this passage that we just read, you'll see that when you read, we'll just reread verse 13 through the end again. It says, blessed is the man who finds Jesus, the man who gains understanding. For he, or it says she, but for Jesus is more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold, and Jesus is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to him. Long life is in his right hand, and in his left are riches and honor. Jesus' ways are pleasant ways, and his path leads to peace. Jesus is the tree of life. To those who embrace him and those who lay hold of him, they will be blessed or happy. I say all that because when I read Proverbs, it just becomes this whole jumble of words. But when I read Proverbs substituting the name of Jesus for this idea of wisdom, all the things that we just read are true about Jesus. He's the tree of life. In his right hand, he holds long life for us. And in the left hand, he holds riches and honor. He gives that to us. When we have a relationship with him, we can embrace that. As I was studying this last couple of weeks, going through this, I really hope that that helps look at the book of Proverbs. Because it rattled my world a little bit, right? Made Proverbs become alive. Something that is actually relatable, that we talk about in the New Testament all the time, right? Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, even in Hebrews, we talk about it. We're going to look at Hebrews in just a minute. But I just want us to make sure that we understand that this word wisdom in our equation, it's Jesus Christ. And for further looking at that, Jesus in the book of Luke looked at the apostles and said, hey, let me explain to you, after his resurrection, And he sat them down and he explained to them how he was in the Old Testament, seen throughout the Old Testament in his relationship and how his relationships work with Moses and all of the prophets, and how his message can be seen throughout all of the Old Testament. So I find it very interesting that Paul is somewhat quoting this. And even the author of Hebrews, he also certainly reflected back upon this. And we may have looked at it when we looked at Hebrews chapter 1, but we're going to look at that again tonight. Verse 19, it says, "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew." In other words, there's order to everything that happens in nature, and it is God's ability to have harmony and order in the world, right? Because he created it. We see that if we go to Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 1. Would somebody like to read that? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, please. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through him also he made the world.
Thank you. So we already looked at this when we studied the book of Hebrews. We looked at Jesus was there at the time that all of the world was created. Back in Proverbs, we see that Jesus, the Lord, laid the earth's foundations. Right? See how this all kind of goes together with Jesus, wisdom? It's fun to use substitutionary words that actually make sense and are true. Because by understanding, Jesus set the heavens in place. And by his knowledge, the deeps were divided. And by the clouds, let drop the dew. Jesus made all of that happen. And he was there when it happened. God was there. Jesus was there. So, going forward, verse 21. So now we're going to talk about this whole idea of protection and provision. What is Jesus' protection and provision for us? What does that look like? Verse 21, it says, "My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight." In other words, don't let your eyes wander. Use discernment or appropriate behavior. For those who were here a couple weeks ago, discernment is not my favorite word. We've talked about that. I never liked it because in first grade I always heard about it. Make good decisions. Are you being discerning today, Mr. Underwood? All the time in first grade. So I grew up not liking that word. But Jesus says you can have good, sound judgment and discernment. And do not let them out of your sight. Don't let your eyes wander away from them. They will be life for you and ornaments of grace around your neck. It keeps you from turning away. So an example of this, when my wife and I were dating, I gave her a necklace. She wore that necklace every day around her neck until we got married. And then she wore a ring on her finger. But she wore that necklace around her neck every single day. She still has it. It sits in a jewelry box. Sometimes she puts it on. Sometimes our girls end up wearing it. Not sure how that works. They borrow it. But it always comes back. And this idea that let these things sit as ornaments around your neck, it's so that you don't forget, right? We put things precious around our necks. Ladies, you have necklaces. Some men wear necklaces, right? It's because whatever's on that necklace, it is very important to them. My dad had a necklace that he would wear. You never saw it, but it had his wife's name engraved on the back of it because he wanted to make sure she knew that's how precious she was to him. And that meant something to her. So the idea here is that we wrap these ideas of sound judgment and discernment, we don't let our eyes wander, and we wrap them around like an ornament around our neck so that we don't turn away. We remember. Then you will go on your way in safety with your foot, and your foot will not stumble. I paused to the wrong place. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. This idea of lying down is sleeping. When you sleep, you won't be afraid. When you sleep, it will be sweet. Why? Because we have this relationship where we can put all of our trust, all of our concerns, all of these things that are important to us, we can lay them at the feet of Jesus and bring up, come in. And we can pray for the peace that passes all understanding. This week, I mentioned we have a gentleman who was having open heart surgery. The way that the surgeon described it, he would take his heart out of his chest, set it on the table, do some work to it, and throw it back in there and sew it back up. I asked him, I said, how do you feel about that? He goes, that scares me to death. Because my heart isn't going to be in my body anymore. And he was terrified. The picture of that, right? But as we talked, he came to the conclusion that, you know what? I know that I have a relationship with God. It's okay for me to be scared. But I am not so scared that I am afraid. And we prayed about having that peace come over him. And that amazing opportunity to relax in the face of God's timing, God's plan for his life. That was an amazing time to just spend an hour on the phone and have a conversation. It was good. I don't know if he felt better. I did. I felt good after. But he was more calm. Right? That's what this whole idea is, that we get to have this opportunity that there are things that frighten me. Growing up, being a parent is not for weak people, right? All you ever do is pray about your kids, you're concerned about your kids. When they grow up and go out of the house, you're still concerned about the kids. And then when they come home for a hot minute, you're still concerned about the kids. And when they leave again, you're still concerned about the kids. My mom still worries about me from time to time, right? And I've not been home forever. So what happens there? Jesus says, I can be your peace. When you lay your head down, and you pray and you give those things to me, I will give you the peace that you need. And then we're finally going to talk about relationships. Actually, no, we're not, because I stopped and I have to pick up here in verse 23. He says, therefore, have no fear of sudden disasters or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence, and you will keep your foot from being snared. Following God, following Jesus, following this whole idea of wisdom leads us into an area where we don't have to be afraid, and we can be confident in doing the right thing. We talked last week, and I think it was Adam that brought it up, and it was sometimes, maybe it's 2 weeks ago, peer pressure gets in the way of a lot that we have to deal with. I know for me, peer pressure can be big. I know for others it's very hard, whether you're in high school, college, or even in your regular being adulting life. Peer pressure is something real, and we all experience it, no matter what our age is, because there's always someone who's either older or younger than us, and we want to be like that, right? That's the way that works. Jesus says, be confident. You can do the right thing. You can do the, you can be confident in me and not snare your feet. You don't get caught in the trap of being like the Joneses or doing something that someone else is doing. So verse 27, now we're going to talk about these relationships. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow, when you have it with you right then and there. Quickly, anybody want to summarize that? Don't do tomorrow what you can do today. Your neighbors, we're talking about our neighbors here, aren't these relationships? And when you have a neighbor that needs some help and you're like, you know what, I'm not doing it today. I'm just going to wait till tomorrow and do it for him tomorrow. Because you know what? It'll be fine. Tomorrow may not be here, right? And they need your help today. Why wouldn't we take that opportunity to build this trusting relationship and show them who God is in our life? Last week I asked, do you have friends or do you know people in your neighborhood that don't go to church? And if you do, awesome. Build those relationships. If you don't, build those relationships. Why? Because it may not be important to ask them the very first time that you talk to them, hey, come to church. But eventually, that conversation and that relationship will grow to be there. We have a young man that we talk to every week. And we go out to breakfast once in a while. Just trying to get to know him, right? That's part of this process. Getting to know who they are, what motivates them, how they work, how they think, how we can be a help to them, how we can be shining. Mostly he's helped me lately, which is awesome. You know, he enjoys that. We will ask him to come, but it's not quite right yet, right? It's not, the timing isn't there. God hasn't moved that needle, but it's for us to have a relationship and build that. Verse 29, it says, do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done no harm to you. Anybody want to give an example of that? What does that mean in real life?
Don't want to go over
and pick a fight, right? Hey, you stepped 3 inches over the line. What are we going to do about this? Property lines are important, right? Is 3 inches important? 2 feet? Maybe if it's 10 feet. What's the line? Maybe having a reasonable conversation rather than arguing, fussing, fighting, striving. Verse 31, it says, do not envy a violent man or choose his ways, for the Lord detests perverse men, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous, and he mocks proud mockers and gives grace to the humble. And the wise inherit honor, but fools he upholds in shame. for us to go look at. We've talked about this whole idea that Jesus provides the protection, right? That's what we're talking about in this whole end of the chapter piece, where how the Lord is going to protect against those who are doing the wrong thing. We don't have to envy the people that are doing it the wrong way. They look like they're successful. It appears that it's successful. But much like the life of Solomon, when we were looking at that, Solomon, we all glorify Solomon, right? But he had a very difficult life. And if we didn't look at that part of Solomon's life, we wouldn't have known it. And often, our neighbors, the people that look like they're doing well, they've got everything going for them, don't envy them, because we have no idea what's going on in their life, and they may be very, very sad and just need a light. So before we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'll ask this. So what is true wealth as we're looking at these passages, verses 13 through 18? Peace. Anything else you like that one? Every time we talk about wisdom, I want to make sure that we write in this word, Jesus. Okay? How about harmony? We're talking about things that are in the world. All the things that we see. The sun, moon, earth, rain. I would even go as far as to say there was a plan for creation. Jesus was there making that plan with his dad, God. How about the protection and provision? What is outlined in that section that we were talking about? So trusting Jesus. And how about our relationships?
He's put those opportunities for us to make a difference in other lives, but if we're not building relationships, we can't truly relate.
Correct. So, for those of you in the back who could not hear, the idea is that we have these relationships. We have the example of Jesus, but it's about obedience to what Jesus says we are supposed to do. And without having those relationships, who are we letting our light shine for? Right? We have to ask the question. You know, the little children's story, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. Don't let Satan it out. Blow it up. Right? We have this little I call it a nursery rhyme. It's not. It's a little song for juniors. I sing it every now and then in the shower. It's a good reminder that this is all about building relationships with other people. And the book of Proverbs is all about Jesus and how we can utilize Jesus to make that happen. And not use Jesus, but rather embrace that relationship with Jesus to create these opportunities. So with that said, let's skip ahead to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And keep in mind, the way I would like to read this is, we just read everything in Proverbs chapter 3. Now we understand it. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, our writer, our author says, therefore, and we talked about this at length, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and there we said, those who've gone before us and those who are even around us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entraps us or entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race. What is that? Life. Marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, on the right hand of the throne of God. I'll leave you with this. Proverbs is difficult to teach. There's a lot of broken up pieces that when you go through, it's instruction, promise, comparison, all this stuff, right? And sometimes we can get lost in all the detail. But as you read it this next week, we're going to start in chapter 4 next week. And as you read, every single time that you read the word wisdom, and if you want to go back and start reading from chapter 1, verse 1, and just catch up to where we are, go back to, and now we're in chapter 4. Every single time you see the word wisdom, substitute this word, Jesus. And we will see Proverbs much differently than what we've ever experienced before, if you've ever read it, if you've gone through it, because it's more than just wisdom, an idea, it's actually a relationship with Jesus who causes all of these things to happen. Any further questions?
Can you start with that
over? Can we start over? Cool. Any additional comments? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. And we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your plan from the very beginning for us to have a relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you for the young man Solomon, who laid it all out in the Old Testament on how to be wise and have a relationship with you. And then how we can see that in the New Testament, that wisdom is Jesus. We pray, Lord, that our relationship with Jesus would grow, we would be tender, we would be compassionate, and we would desire a relationship beyond all others with you. In Jesus' name, amen.